Svangrasisi Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Iskon Phongda Chara Srila Haridasa Ki Srila Prabhupada Principal Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Deita Garada Sri Vasari Gaurasa Vindaki All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. Glories to Shishi Guru and Gaura. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3. Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 5. Does it? Priyam Prabhur Gamya Eva Priyaya.
Priyam Prabhur Gamya Eva Priyaya.
Vidit Sur Archad Dutarum Yad Arte. Vajri Adravattam Sagano Rushanda.
Vajri Adravattam Sagano Rushanda.
Kridam Rigo Nunam Ayam Padunam.
Kridam Rigo Nunam Ayam Padunam.
Priyam Prabhur Gramya Eva Priyaya. Vidit Sur Archad Yutarum Yadarte.
Vidit Sur Archad Yutarum Yadarte.
Vajri Adravattam Sagano Rushanda.
Vajri Adravattam Sagano Rushanda.
Kridam Rigo Nunam Ayam Varunam. Priyam Prabhur Gramya Eva Priyaya.
Priyam Prabhur Gramya Eva Priyaya.
Vidit Sur Archad Yutarum Yadarte.
Vidit Sur Archad Yutarum Yadarte.
Vajri Adravattam Sagano Rusanda.
Here
we go. Parijata flower tree. Yat, for which arte in the matter of Vajri, injure the king of heaven. Adravatam, went forward to fight with him. Sagana. With full strength. Rusha in anger. Anda blind. Krida Mrigraha. Penpek. Nunam. Of course. Ayam. This. Varunam. Of the wives. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Just to please his dear wife.
Just to please.
The Lord brought back the Parijata tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. Purport. The Lord warned. The Lord once went to the heavenly planet to present an earring to Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and his wife Satyabhama also went with him. There is a special flowering tree called the Parijata, which grows only in the heavenly planets, and Satyabhama wanted this tree. Just to please his wife, like an ordinary husband, the Lord brought back the tree, and this enraged Vajri, or the control of the thunderbolt. Indra's wives inspired him to run after the Lord to fight. And Indra, because he was a henpecked husband and also a fool, listened to them and dared to fight with Krishna. He was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to the Lord. There was no fault on the part of the Lord, even though he took away the tree from the heavenly kingdom. But because Indra was henpecked, dominated by his beautiful wives like Sachi, he became a fool, just as all persons who are dominated by their wives are generally foolish. It's heavy there. Indra thought that Krishna was a henpecked husband, who only by the will of the wife, Satyabhama, took away the property of heaven. Therefore, he thought that Krishna could be punished. He forgot that the Lord is the proprietor of everything and cannot be henpecked. The Lord is fully independent, and by his will only, he can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not, therefore, attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife, But he was pleased with her devotional service and thus wanted to reciprocate the unalloyed devotion of his devotee. Om again, Timon Siaganin, Janar Shalaka, Sakshim Tanganatas, Mashu, Mavishi Padaya Krishna, Shabbatulishan, and the Baki Venti Sami. Amase Saraswati Devi, the Lord of Krishna, and the Vijay Shimura, the Pashkar. Yashi Krishna Chaitanya, the Wundi Samanda, Shri Dagarada, Shri Asalita, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is an interesting episode with Lord Krishna and Indra. This pastime took place just after Lord Krishna had released the 16,000 queens from the palace of Baumasura. Baumasura is also called Narakasura. He is actually the son of Bhumdevi and Lord Varaha. It stated that from the perspiration of Lord Varaha and Bhumdevi came Baumasura. But it's surprise because he's actually he's the son of the Supreme Lord, Varaha, and Bhumdevi, the goddess of earth. How he became a demon. It's stated that because he had close association with Banasura. Banasura. Then he became he got influenced by him and became very demonic. He had conquered the whole earthly planet, all the kings, and he took away their beautiful daughters, 16,100, isn't that? It's 16,100. And he imprisoned them. And then, then he went to heaven and conquered heaven also. He defeated all the demigods. And then he stole some things from there. He actually stole Aditi's earring. It stated that he actually ripped the earring off of Aditi from her ear, like just ripped it and ripped her ear. Imagine, I mean, how cruel that was. And so the Indra came to earth and begged Lord Krishna to help in the situation. So Lord Krishna had decided to conquer Banasura, Narakasura. So there's another side to this story, and it's stated that actually in the Bhagavatam it's stated that Lord Krishna killed him with his Sudarshan Chakra. But it's stated in the other Puranas that Satyabhama actually killed him because he had gotten a boon from Lord Brahma that can only be killed by his mother. See? And it's stated also that Satyabhama was a portion of Mother Earth. She was an incarnation of Mother Earth, Satyabhama. And so when the fighting took place with Narakasura and Lord Krishna, they were fighting to and fro. First, Lord Krishna killed the Mura, the five-headed demon. That's why he's called Murari. Lord Krishna is called Murari because he killed that powerful general of Narakasura. And then as the fight ensued, in the Puranas stated that Lord Krishna was hit on the chest. But he play fainted. He played it because he knew that that Narakasura was coerced to be killed by Bhumi. And so he allowed Satyabhama to kill him. And Satyabhama took her arrow and shot him and killed him. That's a different version. But then what happened? Mother Earth collected back the earring and some other stuff. I think something from Varuna. Some weapon from Varuna and also the peak of Mandara. So these, they returned back to the heavenly planet. And Indra was very, very pleased about this because Aditi is his mother. And Aditi is the mother of the 12 Adityas, or the foremost demigods. So what happened is that Lord Indra offered his obeisances in Bhagavatam 10th, the 10th canto, 59:41 stated, Yayacha anamya kirita kotibhi aho suranam cha tamodhik adyatam. If after Indra had bowed down to Lord Achyuta, touched his feet with the lips of his crown, with the tips of his crown, and begged the Lord to fulfill his desire, that exalted demigod, having achieved his purpose, chose to fight with the Supreme Lord. What ignorance there is among the gods, to hell with their opulence. This is Bhagavatam saying this, the thing. So Indra had just offered obeisances, just asked a great favor from Krishna, and then he was ready to fight him. This is ungrateful, right? Isn't it? It's very bewildering. How is it that such an exalted personality, would attack the Lord just because he took one parijata flower? There may be thousands of parijata flower in the heavenly planet. And Satyabhama wanted one. Satyabhama also did him a favor. In fact, Satyabhama is related to Aditi also. So this is very bewildering. And so maybe we can examine the position of the demigods a little bit, and maybe see why they're acting in this way. Indra had already gotten into so much trouble before. Like many, many trouble in the past he had already, and one would think that he would have learned his lesson, but still he was ready to fight so quickly. See? So it's stated that of course we know that the demigods are superior beings to man, manusha, to earthlings. We are called earthlings. But the demigods are far superior in terms of mystical powers, beauty, all the opulences they have in abundance. They can appear and disappear. They have that power. When they come to earth, or they don't usually touch the surface of the earth. They just float in the air. That's why when Yudhishthira's chariot was floating in the air, it was considered very special, because he's very pure. So the demigods are in this exalted position. And so, this is one reason it gets to their ego. They're not only that. They say that they don't perspire. They don't take part like ordinary humans. In fact, they scorn the idea that a human takes birth from a womb. Someone, I don't remember. When the demigods had came to Earth, I'm wondering if it was them. They didn't want to take birth like humans. And then they didn't want to stay in Earth also. That's why they had asked Mother Ganga to kill them when they were babies also. But anyhow, so the demigods, they have all these special qualities. But because of this, they become very proud and puffed up, so to speak. And so this can be one reason. I mean, there are other reasons, and we'll touch upon that later on. So because of this, Indra just got into this this nature of, you know, not being tolerant. And so it wasn't even a provocation. Well, Srila Prabhupada put it rightly here, that maybe because he was allured by his wives. I know Sachidevi is one of his wives. It stated that Indra Devi or Indrawati is another of his wife. He has a few wives. See? Also, the demigods, they don't work with the laws of karma. Like how we work with karma, good and bad karma, they don't work with karma. It's stated that all their piety is accumulated. And so they're only enjoying pious life. And when that piety finishes, when that pious life finishes, their pious credit finishes, then their garland fades. They usually get a nice garland, it remains fresh. But then the garland fades. And as soon as the garland fades, they fall to earth. The demigods. So they can't do good and bad karma. They just got to experience all the good karma and then they fall to earth. So many things about the demigods. You know, but what's bewildering, what I can't really still understand is that if in the heavenly planet everything is in the subtle sphere, you know, everything, because the scientists cannot see them. I mean, they've sent space probe to all the planets in the solar system, and they cannot see, in fact, they cannot see any living being. And so it means that all these beings are living on the subtler level, subtler realm. So what I was saying, that if existence is in the subtle realm, how can the Parijata flower be existed here? This may be a question for the BI guys, you see, because it's bewildering. So Lord Krishna says, neither the host of demigods nor great sages know of my origin. Neither the host. Nami vidu suragada prabhavam na maharishaya aham adirhi devanam maharishaya sarvata. It stated here, neither the host of demigods nor great sages know of my origin. Indeed, for in every respect, I am the source of both the demigods and the great sages. See? So even though they know that Lord Krishna was on earth and everything, but somehow it's still bewildering to them that Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. They're probably taken from another great being. I mean, because in the universe there's so many great personalities. Lord Shiva, Brahma, so many of the demigods, even all the great demons and everything. They're powerful beings. And so sometimes this can be bewildering to the sages, to the demigods, to mankind. See? But it is important to understand that Krishna is the supreme, and it's important for us to promote his supremacy at all times, or whenever we have chance to do that. It is our obligation to promote the supremacy of Lord Krishna and establish his teachings as supreme in the world. This is our obligation. See, this was the task of Srila Prabhupada, and this was our task. Yad yad vibhutimat satram srimad ujitam evapa tattari vagachatvam mama tejo amsa sambhava. All opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations are but a spark of my splendor. See? So that Parijata flower, though beautiful it may be, is just a spark of Krishna's splendor. And Indra should have known that and should have recognized that and not fight with the Lord. See? Not fight with the Lord, because everything belongs to him. Aham sarvasya prabhavu vata sarvam pravartita iti madhva bhajantimam buddha bhava samanvitaka. I'm the source of both the spiritual and material worlds. Everything comes from me. The wise who knows is surrender unto me. See? So the Lord is, everything is coming from him. Maya dyakshena prakriti. In my unmanifested form, I pervade and control the whole universe. Bijamam sarva bhutanam. I am the seed of all existence. See? So this is important and essential. When Lord Krishna came here on earth also, I mean, no one could have run him over. I mean, everyone tried, all the demons and everything, tried in so many ways to attack and kill him and fight. But everyone, he showed his supremacy. He showed that he's the Supreme Lord. See? And like I say, it is our position to also establish that. Krishna. I mean, like, even, you know, the Christians would say Jesus is the Son of God and God, whatever. But in the whole Bible, Jesus is glorifying the Supreme Father. You know, he's always talking about the Supreme Father, the Supreme Father, the Supreme Father. So as Christians or whoever, everyone have to realize that even Jesus is subordinate to Krishna. You see? Or Lord Shiva, even Lord Shiva, as the Shivites would think that he's as powerful and he's supreme in some ways. He's very powerful, we know that. But even him, one time challenged Lord Krishna, or maybe a few times we've seen in the Krishna pastime, it was Banasura pastimes. And Lord Krishna defeated him with the Narayan Jwala. See? So all beings, Lord Krishna vanquished him, because even though he came to protect his devotee and establish religious principles, dharma and so forth, but he also establishes his supremacy. That was there. You see? He established his supremacy. Every time anyone tried to fight with Lord Krishna, you can see quickly he defeated them. Everyone. See? And so we have to realize this. And we have to be bold soldiers of Lord Krishna. This community has almost 3,000 strong devotees. See? When we go out on Harinam, 5 persons go there. See? No, we need 1,000 people to come out. When we go to the football game, there is 100,000 people there sometimes. And we just a few little devotees shaking there. Now, come out in strong. You know, When you have some feast or something, you see the whole community is here. You see 5,000 strong head there. But when we have Harinam, 5 people, how is that? No, can't be. You know, we have to think. I mean, Mother Moksha is working very hard to keep this community together. But we have to do our part also. Take part in the preaching. It's not like she can force anyone to do that. See? But we have to try and encourage and try to get more people to be out. See? This is our process. You know, we got to be warriors for Krishna, warriors for Lord Chaitanya, warrior for a guru, warrior for Srila Prabhupada. And we have to establish these teachings. We have to be convinced. It's the most powerful teachings on the face of the earth. In fact, we need to practice debate and start debate also. Debate every religionist or any scholar, whoever wants to. Defeat all of them. This should be our mission. See? So coming back to here. So Indra, he was so fast jumping to fight. But Srila Prabhupada says he was a fool and he was Indra. See? He was a fool and he was Indra, really. And the word henpeck means, I don't know how the word is derived, but maybe if is you covered by the hen, probably. the cock is covered by the hen, something like that. I don't know, you know. But the idea is that one becomes a weakling. Let me become a little more philosophical. The scripture says that the women have to be protected at all stages of their life. They have to be protected as a child by the father, when married by the husband, and when old by the grown-up sons. She's always protected. Because she is weak physically and spiritually. See, that's how it's put really. So in other words, that would establish him as head of the household also. Him, and so as such, he has to take care of the wife and he has to protect her in all circumstances. And so he should not really be henpecked in this way. See, I guess. Maybe, you know, Srila Prabhupada did not delve too much into this henpeckedness, really. And then he stated there also in the purport that other men who acted in similar ways would also be like that. But whatever it is, we have to see things in proper perspective and carry out our duties properly. This is it. So let us come back to Indra for a moment. He had taken the form of a crow one time and attacked Sita Devi. And Lord Ramachandra was going to kill him. But then he immediately begged pardon to Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra forgave him. See, Lord Ramachandra forgave him. And Srila Prabhupada, this is also stated in the Nectar of Devotion. The Lord is steadfast. The Lord is forgiven. The Lord is forgiven. That was the topic there. And so Lord Ramachandra forgave Indra. Then another time, Durvasa had given him a flower garland. One time Durvasa gave him a flower garland and he threw it on the trunk of Airavata. Airavata is this powerful white elephant. And what happened, Airavata trampled that flower. And Durvasa was enraged and cursed Indra. So when he cursed Indra, Indra lost all his powers and opulence. And the demons attacked him and defeated him. And I think he had to hide. That was another great mistake he had made. Then another time he had kicked Agastamuni, the great sage. Because of his pride and arrogance, the sages were carrying him, and he kicked one of the sages, and he was cursed again. Then, what else? So many times. One time, Prithu was doing the horse sacrifice, and he escaped with the horse, if you remember that pastime again. So many times, Indra got into trouble. Many, many times. And he was forgiven. And then now again, Lord Krishna, who is the owner and controller of everything, just took a parijata flower from the heavenly planet, and he was quick to attack him. But of course, Lord Krishna defeated him and all the demigods quickly. So he defeated all of them and shattered their pride. So, and also what Indra liked to do too, I mean, he liked beautiful women. Like when he comes on earth and he sees any beautiful woman, he's going to go for her. Despite even the woman has a great sage for a husband. And we just know the story of Gautama Muni. He had allured Ahalya, and then he was cursed by Gautama Muni. See, many other women he did. And also, when the sages go into great tapasya, he gets scared because his position can be taken away. His position can be taken. We know the story of Kandu Muni, the great Kandu. He had sent Padmalochi to allure him also. That was a nice pastime, see? But then sometimes what happened, the sages end up cursing the Apsara and cursing Indra also, see? But anyhow, Nahusha was a great personality in art, and because of his greatness, he was sent in the heavenly planet to become an Indra. But because of the opulence of Indra, he became very proud here. And then what happened, he was cursed also to become a serpent on earth. And he would be freed when Maharaj Yudhishthira answered his questions. And if you all know the story, the snake had swallowed the brothers, the Pandavas, and then Maharaj Yudhishthira went and answered his questions. And then when he answered his question, he was liberated. He got back the position of Nahusha. So then Maharaj Yudhishthira asked him, he says, "O great personality, you've been the king of heaven. How is it that you have fallen to this deplorable situation?" And Nahusha said that opulences goes into one's head and makes him very proud. The most menial of servant, the most ordinary, the most exalted person can become captivated by this opulence. And this opulence, when it goes to the head, then pride arises. And then one creates offenses. And from offenses, by offending others, one is cursed or whatever, and then he falls down. And that was what happened to Nahusha. And so we can see this is also the exact situation with Indra. See? that because of the opulences he's got very proud of, at the least provocation, he would attack. The Lord that owns everything, Supreme Lord. So I'll stop here. Did I cover all the points that Srila Prabhupada made here? I think so. Let me see. If there's any question or comment, I'll take it. Yes, Haribol Mataji, welcome.
Thank you. Usually I listen online. So thank you for class, but I do have some statistics to update about the size of the community. The last time we did a directory, there was 1,100. This was several years ago, but 1,100 men, women, and children. So I really don't think it's the size of the community has tripled.
It's 3,000.
It's not. No, if
sometimes I've heard word like family of 2,000 or something. You know, I hear that thing. So I was calculating only family, maybe kids and everything. There was a lot of new people came in for school and stuff. Something, yeah. And maybe it's growing well wishes and everything. Well, you know,
maybe it's
we have. But yeah, I mean,
couple hundred,
but maybe. The idea is we have a lot of people here. You know, and five people on Harinam is not so encouraging. Really. You know, we could have more people. You see, and not only that, but we can. You know, but the idea is I know people are busy. People are taking care of their kids, they're doing so many things. But we still have to make time for our mission, somehow or the other. If we go one day on Harinam, I mean, that would not kill us. There's, you know, we got 7 days a week. Even Friday afternoon or whatever, really. We usually do Harinam on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and then when football is here, we do Saturday also. See? So that's that. But you know, of course, it's a voluntary process, and but yet we have to try and try to up our game and try to volunteer more. Yeah, Matt. So you have another question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I looked up the definition of henpecked.
Okay.
And it means to nag and dominate one's partner or spouse.
Oh.
That's
the definition. Oh, so when you say henpecked guy, so it means the woman is over him and yeah, whatever. In Kali Yuga, but just a point, Mataji, in Kali Yuga, that would be prevalent. Really. Lord Krishna was telling his father in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. It stated that as Kaliyuga progress, maybe I should close the other ear. As Kaliyuga progress, the wife would always be looking for another guy, you know, a paramour. Sometimes in Guyana and other places, you say sweet man. You know, that's the word they say. You see, and then Lord Krishna was telling his father. He says that she would produce, give this sweet guy all the nice things. In Trinidad, they say saga boy. the wife would give this side guy all the nice things and don't even give the husband food to eat as Kali progress. So, you know, I mean, but, you know, that's later down the road, but maybe it's happening some places already. Yeah. So, yes, Mataji?
You stated that women are weaker physically and spiritually. I don't gather that from Prabhupada. Can I say?
Okay, continue, yeah.
One point that Prabhupada makes is that you can see in churches, more women gather in churches. Okay, that's one thing.
Another thing
is, he does say, make a distinction that women have not a lesser power of discrimination. just as we see in the example of Draupadi related with Asvatthama. She was more soft-hearted. So the women are more soft-hearted. But they're made this way to be able to nurture the children, you know, in the family. Therefore, they can use, either they cultivate themselves the philosophical side stronger, or they're guided by their husbands who may be more inclined in that way. But actually now we see there's so many very wise and strong women in Krishna consciousness that are worthy of taking guidance.
I think that wasn't the right word, but like you said, maybe weak physically and the other word you were saying, that might be the best word. You know, but that I grabbed from a Purana or somewhere, but that was not coming from thing really. But of course, what you made, and I observed that, even before I came to ISKCON, I observed that. When I used to go to the regular Hindu temples when I was a small, the temple is packed with ladies. You don't see men there, really, just a few men really. You know, and even at that time I used to think, why these guys are not coming, you know? And it's stated in Kali Yuga, the temples will be dominated by the women, you know? Because they are more soft-hearted too, and they're more surrendered in one sense, you know? Yeah, so thank you for that correction, really. I think that was not the right word I said there. Yeah, that's it. Yes,
You made a reference to a story of a snake eating the Pandavas.
Nahusha.
That's different than from the Lake of Death and Yamaraj.
With Yamaraj, yeah, that was different from the story of from Yamaraj. Yeah, what had happened? Nahusha was an earth. He was the king of heaven. And he was coarse and he fell on earth. And the part of the course was, when you speak to Yudhishthira, you would be liberated. Imagine these sages can see so far. When they course someone, they would see so far, they would say you'd be liberated by this person. Just like that lizard in the well. You know, when it was course, it was stated, when Lord Krishna comes so time, so many thousands of years or so, then you'd be liberated. Yeah, so that was different from the Yamaraj when he took the form of a crane. Yeah, there was some nice lessons there too. Yeah. I think that. And Nahusha, I think he's related to Yayati. Yayati and some other great personalities. Forget your father name. But I used to recall all these things, but you know, with time, old age, you know, you're losing memory, like memory is going down. But, yeah. So, any other point or so? Okay, thank you for being so, for being so receptive. Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jai!
Hare Krishna.